بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. وعن معاوية رضي الله عنه قال: سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: المؤذنون أطول الناس أعناقا يوم القيامة. رواه مسلم. This hadith we discussed at length yesterday, just to complete one or two aspects of it. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu narrates that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, the muadhinun, those who used to call out adhan, Allah will elongate their necks, they will have the longest necks on the day of judgment. This is obviously symbolic language, an example, as we touched on yesterday, five or six different wujuhat explanations of the great honor which Allah Ta'ala will bestow upon a muazzin on the day of judgment. What is meant by elongated necks, the high rank, the leaning out closer to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they being elevated from the terrors and hardships and difficulties of that day, they going forward ahead and being saved from any type of embarrassment or being ashamed on that day. And likewise we find in Tabarani the same hadith, but with a little bit of extra wording, where even a greater honor, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Mu'adhinuna atwalun nasi anaqan. The Mu'adhinun, the people of, who used to call out adhan, they will have the longest necks on the day of judgment. Wala yudawwadu fi quburihim. And Allah Ta'ala will not allow their bodies to be consumed by the insects of the grave. In other words, even in the grave, Allah Ta'ala will bestow this honor, that where the body of, whether it's a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer or anybody else, will be eaten up by the insects of the grave. Those who's, for whom this position of azan was accepted, Allah Ta'ala will preserve their bodies in the grave and it will not be consumed. Likewise, we find in another riwayat, Al-Mu'adhinul Muhtasib. This word ihtisab, many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it comes that, for example, man sama ramadana imanan wa ihtisaban, person fast in Ramadan, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi, Allah forgives all his sins, but not just fast, but with ihtisab. Ihtisab means to have a genuine belief, conviction, understanding, perception of the reward that Allah Ta'ala has attached to that. So don't just be muazzin, ihtisab, al-muazzinul muhtasib, one who understands what is azan, one who has the conviction in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised or afforded with that position of being a muazzin. So al-muazzinul muhtasib, that muazzin who gives azan with ihtisab, understanding, having conviction, belief in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised, what is his maqam? Kashaheed. Allah will elevate him, his position will be like a shaheed, a martyr, but not just any shaheed. Al-shaheed al-mutashahit fi damihi. That martyr who is drowning in a pool of his blood. In other words, the height of martyrdom. That will be the position Allah Ta'ala will give al-mu'adhin al-muhtasib. And to continue the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-mu'adhin al-muhtasib kashaheed al-mutashahit fi damihi. The mu'adhin who gives azan with ihtisab will be like that martyr who is drowning in a pool of his blood. Wa'idha mata, and when he dies, لَمْ يُدَوَّدْ فِي قَبْرِهِ, Allah will preserve his body in the grave and his grave will not be consumed by the insects. Now the question arises, we've dealt at length with the great benefits that are attached to this amal or this da'watu tamma, this great da'wat of Islam, da'wat of the azan, which in every second throughout the entire universe, throughout the entire world, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, with starting from Australia, moving downwards, at any given time, this beautiful system has been put into place, that the da'wah of Allah's greatness is resounding in the atmosphere throughout the entire world. So scholars mention that what is the reason that so much of reward and so much of position and status has been attached to this amal of azan? One of the reasons they give is that azan is not just azan, it's not just a proclamation, it's not just a call to prayer, it is da'wat. And وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَىٰ إِلَى اللَّهِ. There is no action that is greater than this. There is no action that has more beauty than this. There is no action that is more elevated than da'wat. So this is why this great position. Because muazzin is not just giving azan, he's giving da'wat to the most important fariza of deen. He's giving da'wat to the most important action which is compulsory. And the first thing Allah Ta'ala is going to question you and I about on the day of judgment is our salah. So he's giving da'wat towards that. And anyone who practices upon this da'wat, this is the beauty of da'wat, that anyone who hears your da'wat and practices upon it, not only does he get the reward of practicing, you will get the reward of what you invited him towards. So this is why this position or this amal of azan has been elevated to such an extent. When Abdullah bin Abdul Rahman bin Abi Sa'sa'a, Abdullah bin Abdul Rahman bin Abu Sa'sa'a is not a Sahabi, this is a Tabi'i, that is the generation after Sahaba. He was from the Mazin tribe of the Ansar of Medina Munawara. And he was regarded amongst the Kibar al-Tabi'in, that is the high ranking Tabi'in generation after Sahaba, Imam Bukhari, Imam Abu Dawud, Imam Nasa'i, Ibn Majah, Rahimahumullah, all these great authorities of hadith have narrated from this particular Tabi'i, who obviously narrates from the Sahaba. So Abdullah bin Abdul Rahman bin Abi Sa'sa'a narrates from Abu Sa'id Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, qala lahu, that Abu Sa'id Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said to Abdullah bin Abdul Rahman bin Abi Sa'sa'a, inni araka tuhibbul ghanam wal badiya. He says, I can see in you someone who has great love and attachment to sheep, to goats. In other words, he earned his livelihood from being a shepherd or from looking after goats and sheep, rearing or farming with goats and sheep. In those days, what that meant is that he spent a lot of time in solitude, a lot of time out in the fields. Somebody who was tending or looking after goats and sheep would not spend time in the precincts of the town. In those days particularly, even today our farms are not located in the city, they're located in the outskirts. So likewise, in that time specifically, person who spent most of his days rearing or tending goats and sheep would spend a lot of his time out in the open fields in the desert, completely alone in a solitary environment. So this is the background of this particular Tabi'i, Abdullah bin Abdul Rahman bin Abi Sa'sa. So Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu, the great Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he makes this observation about this Tabi'i. He says, I can see that you prefer or you have chosen a life of rearing or tending goats and sheep, walbadiya, and being out in the open desert land. So, فَإِذَا كُنْتَ فِي غَنَمِكْ وَبَادِيَتِكْ. When you are amongst your sheep, or out in the jungle, or out in the desert land, in other words, you are going to be completely alone. The time for salah will come. So, فَأَذَّنْتَ لِلصَّلَاةِ. Don't just make salah, but give out azan. Make azan. So a lot of times we have this mindset that, okay, I'm on safar, I'm on journey. So obviously I'm not near any masjid, I'm in some airport or railway station or bus station, or even stop at some petrol station for the time of salah. So we learn from this hadith of Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu that this sahabi who is in the desert completely alone most of the time, When the time for salah comes, فَأَذَّنْتَ لِلصَّلَاةِ. Don't just make azan. فَرْفَعْ صَوْتَكَ بِالنِّدَى. Raise your voice. Shout the azan. Sometimes a person will think, I'm in a jungle or in a desert, there's nobody else there. In other words, when you're giving azan, you're not giving azan to the birds and the insects. You're giving azan to human beings. But if there's nobody there, then maybe even if you give azan, we might feel that the Shariat requires us to just give the azan softly. But we learn from this hadith, even if you are alone in a jungle somewhere, or you are traveling, obviously in an airport today, nowadays unfortunately with the type of negative propaganda about Islam, etc., you have to be a little bit careful. You don't stand in the middle of a airport and start shouting at the top of your voice and then next thing attract the security, etc. Islam, when you give da'wat of Islam also, there has to be with intelligence and with husne uslub and see where you are. And obviously observe the protocol of wherever you are, not required to go and break any regulation, etc. But where there is an opportunity in azan, from this first expression of the sahabi, farfa sawtak, we learn that, for example, somebody wants to practice upon Shariat. When you practice upon Shariat, certain a'mal of Shariat have a mizaj, have a temperament that is attached to that amal. Amal, if you just carry it out, will get discharged. But what is the mizaj? For example, when it comes to Umrah and Hajj, because these are the days of Hajj, person makes talbiyah, person is going for Hajj, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. Clear hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Jibreel came and informed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, muru ashabakum, command your sahaba, don't just make labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, an irfa'u aswatakum bitalbiyah. Command your sahaba to raise their voices. Shout the talbiyah. So with azan also, Shariat commands us. Today, mashallah, you got a mic system that's in its place. But the hukam of azan is, don't just give the azan in audible tones. Don't just call out the azan. The fact that you say call out the azan means you must be heard. It must be audible. In other words, elevate your voice. Elevate your voice, and the mizaj and temperament of azan is to shout the azan, not whisper the azan. So coming back to this hadith, we run out of time, we'll continue, but nevertheless, he said, when you are in the jungle, when you are in the desert, you are completely alone, you sit with your sheep, there isn't anybody there also, and you don't expect anybody to be there, then too, when you're giving out the azan, farfa sawtak bin nida, raise your voice when you are giving the azan. Inshallah, we'll continue.